Welcome to another edition of Conversations with Creative Women. I'm Sandy Klein. Karen Merrick, in a word, wow! And a question, where to begin? I'll start with Web Methods, a business-to-business enterprise software solution created by Karen and her husband, Philip. It had the fourth most successful debut on the NASDAQ. The company, which employed 1,100 people worldwide, was bought by Software AG for a whopping $540 million. Karen is also the founder and CEO of Pocket Mentor, a mobile app and digital publishing company based out of McLean, Virginia, that works on leadership development and career advancement. She's a partner with Byberry Partners, an investment and advisory firm that focuses on the areas of enterprise and consumer technology. Karen serves on several NASDAQ company boards, and in 2012 was appointed to the 17-member board of the Metropolitan Washington Airports Authority by the Governor of Virginia. It manages and operates Ronald Reagan National and Washington Dulles International Airports, which together serve more than 40 million passengers a year. And speaking of boards, Karen's a founding investor of Venture Philanthropy Partners. The organization mentors nonprofit leaders to improve the lives of children from low-income families. She's also served on the boards of several D.C. area charities and is a member of the board of the Global Good Fund and the Women in Technologies Leadership Foundry. All these accomplishments by a woman who didn't even start college until she was 25, who had been living on her own for several years, and says she didn't have the courage or confidence to support herself while earning a bachelor's degree at UCLA, but wound up doing so in 3 years. Enough from me. Let's meet Karen. Welcome, and thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Sandy. That was a wonderful introduction. Can I just like take that with me wherever I go and play it?
Absolutely. I'll follow you wherever you go, and I'll say it fresh every time. All right, Karen, you are one busy, committed, passionate person. So I want you to talk about how you got here from there.
Well, thank you. That's a really good question. As you were reading out the introduction, I was reminded by something that my mother said to me when I was really young. And she said, "You know, Karen, you are interested in so many things. You need to just focus on one of them." And I have to tell you that I've had a really hard time doing that my entire life, with the exception of my husband. We've been married for almost 22 years and our two children. I've come to believe that having a lot of interests is just who I am. And I think it's a strength.
But you didn't go to school right away. You weren't on a track, right, to do what you did. How did that happen?
Well, that's a great question, too. Like a lot of kids from my generation, you know, more than half of our parents got divorced. And my parents got separated my senior year of high school. They got divorced and they were not able to help me with college. So I thought, gosh, I just didn't feel ready at that age to pay the rent and work full time and go to college full time. It just seemed too daunting to me. So I got a good job and I learned a lot on the job. And then when I was finally ready, I found that that job, which actually was a job as a secretary, had really trained me to kind of succeed in the business world ultimately.
So you apply to UCLA because you were living in California. You get in and you decide to major in what?
Political science, because I wanted to change the world.
Okay. And you spend 3 years in school. And is it at that point that you get some kind of epiphany that you might not have a career in politics?
Actually, it happened after I moved to Washington, D.C. So when I got when I was accepted into UCLA, I applied for a job on campus. And it turns out it was the Placement and Career Planning Center. And they had this wonderful program for students there. And you would work 5 hours a day for $10 an hour on campus. So I made $250 a week. And I lived in a rent-controlled apartment about 2 miles away from UCLA. So I walked to school every day. And while I was at the Placement and Career Planning Center, I had several epiphanies, because I was going to school thinking this was going to, you know, be my track in life to make a difference in the world and to sort of live out my purpose. And on my first day working at the Placement and Career Planning Center, there were all of these alumni coming in from who had already graduated. and they were taking all of this battery of career tests, trying to figure out what to do with the rest of their lives. And it sort of gave me this idea very early on that going to college was just the first step, and it wasn't the end all and be all, even though it was kind of the key to open a lot of other doors. So I majored in political science. I loved the study of different countries and their economies and our economy and all of our resources and how you pull all of that all together to make the world a better place. Well, then I moved to Washington, D.C. I got an internship with CNN. I worked on a show called Inside Politics, and they offered me a job in Atlanta making $12,000 a year. Well, I had student loans, and I thought, I can't move to Atlanta. I'm here in Washington, D.C., where all the action is, and I can't live on that wage. So I started looking around for jobs and interviewing on Capitol Hill, and it hit me that I did not want to be part of a large bureaucracy. It never really hit me until then how bureaucratic policy and politics was. So I thought back on what I had learned at the Placement and Career Planning Center. I went and took a couple of the career tests we gave, got a copy of What Color Is Your Parachute? And lo and behold, that intentional self-discovery totally changed my trajectory. And I realized that I'm a born and bred entrepreneur.
What does that mean, that you were born and bred entrepreneur?
Well, you know, part of it is I realized there were lots of projects at the Placement and Career Planning Center that I was asked to start. A newsletter, for example. I started a newsletter there, and that was wonderful because it was starting something from scratch. It was writing and editing and interviewing and things like that, so I could learn a lot. But I realized as I looked around me that my grandfather was a small business owner, and I realized I had really learned a lot from him. My sister had a business, a small business, a lighting design company, lighting design and manufacturing. My brother had started a landscaping business. And I guess it just occurred to me that this had been all around me all the time. And this is the interesting thing, Sandy. A lot of us, there's a lot of truth, information about ourselves, and it's all around us all the time, and we just don't recognize it, which is actually one of the reasons why, you know, flashing forward, that I developed the Pocket Mentor mobile app, because it helps people recognize things that they may know, but they need to be reminded of, or recognize things that they don't know, but they should see.
You must have had a very strong sense of self.
Well, either that, or I would just wanted to get to the bottom of all of this.
No, but you believed in you. Yeah. Maybe when you didn't have support in other areas, if your parents were separating and they were eventually getting divorced and they were focused on something else. I mean, you kind of pulled yourself up by your own bootstraps. And I don't mean to make it sound so dramatic, but is that true?
Well, that is true. And let me tell you a story about that. When I was getting ready to go to college and I was pulling together the budget of what it would cost to live in Los Angeles, no less, I went to each set of my grandparents and I said, here's my budget. Here's what I have to do. Can you help me financially? And each one of them said, we love you very much, but you know, one of them had 10 grandkids and the other one had 12. And they said, you know, if we help you, we'll have to help all of the grandkids, and we can't help all of the grandkids. So I felt really dejected after that. But what it did, Sandy, is it caused me to do exactly what you said. The doors that closed caused me to dig deeper. And when I went through graduation ceremony from UCLA in the summer of 1988, I was so full of gratitude. And I thought, if I can do this, I can do anything.
Who are you grateful for? You?
I was grateful that they had said no. I was grateful that I was forced to dig deeper. I was every day when I was on campus at UCLA. It's such a wonderful place. I was grateful to even be there. I'm the first woman in my family to get a college education. And I actually think that someone should do a study on this, because when you're not from a college educated family, I mean, my father had gone to school at night and ended up getting his MBA from Pepperdine. But if you're not raised in a family that's college educated and you're going there, you kind of have to navigate that. You have to figure it out. You have to think, well, there's a lot of other kids here who are from college educated families, and they know what to do. Do I know what to do? And I'm a little bit older than everyone else, and everyone thinks I'm a graduate student, but I'm an undergraduate student. It was all good for me.
If you're just joining us, my guest today is businesswoman, entrepreneur, philanthropist, Karen Merrick. So take us on your career journey. How did you wind up starting your own business, and what is Web Methods?
Okay, well, first, how Web Methods came about was after I did this battery of career testing, I realized that I really did want to start something and I was an entrepreneur at heart. And I thought about, I was actually, I think, playing it a little safe. I thought about, well, what do I want to do? Well, I knew that I had done some marketing for a little bit of marketing at the Placement and Career Planning Center. And I thought, this is something I really enjoyed. So I wanted to learn more about marketing. And I'm a big believer in learning by doing, which is one of Richard Branson's favorite quotes as well. And as you can see from his stellar career, he's really good at learning by doing. So I looked around for a job where I could learn a lot about marketing. And I found one. It was fantastic. But my longer term plan was to find a woman-owned marketing agency where I could go in and work and learn the trade myself and then start a company. So I did. After I was at the Trade Association for a little while, they wanted someone to start their marketing department from scratch, and I did. And then I found a wonderful woman-owned firm, and they hired me, you know, a few years later, and I worked with them for a few years. While I was at that firm, I was helping bring in lots of business. I was managing national campaigns, social marketing campaigns. And I met my husband. And on our first date, I said, I'm going to start a business. You know how you talk about what you're doing with your life and your career? And I said, well, this is my plan. I'm working here because I'm going to start my own business. And he said, well, that's interesting. I want to start my own business too. And I said, well, you realize how much work it is. I said, my brother and my sister are already small business owners and they work all the time. And he said, no, I really do. Well, 7 months later, we were engaged. 4 months after that, we were married. And within the first year of our marriage, we had to go to Australia because he's from Australia. His mother was terminally ill. She rebounded. While we were in Australia, we hatched a plan to start a business, Web Methods. So by that time, I had gone out on my own with my own agency. My very first client was America Online. So I learned about the consumer technology, and America Online was so new and so revolutionary that almost no one there had any experience in it. So again, I could learn by doing. I could enter this new field, this online revolution. And my husband was already a software developer. So we just decided together to start this company called Web Methods. And what Web Methods essentially did is, and still does, is use the internet as a platform to integrate businesses. So every business in the world is run by its information technology. It has software that runs the business, that runs the financials, the human resources, the shipping and receiving, the supply chain. So what Web Methods did in a very powerful and profound way is integrate all those applications within a company and across with their global trading partners.
It was just the two of you doing this?
Yes, in our basement. It was just the two of us initially. We had a friends and family round of investors. And then, people that we had worked with in the past got on board. And of course, my husband was in the software industry. So he knew people who were interested in investing. And then we had formal angel investors. And then we went to get venture investing. And we were rejected by every single major venture fund in Silicon Valley, in New York, and in Boston. So we were really literally down to our last $33 when a wonderful firm called the FBR Technology Venture Fund here in the DC metropolitan area took a chance, invested $2 million in our company, and that's when everything changed.
And what year was this?
That year was late 97.
1997.
Yes.
So they invest $2 million, and then is this like some Hollywood movie? It just took off?
Well, then we were still three steps forward, two steps back, but it helped that we had been the early entrants into the market. It helped that we had a wonderful growing team of people. I think it really helped that we worked a lot. we didn't have kids then, and so we were able to really work 24/7. And we were also, there's always an element of luck in there and tenacity.
Now, could anybody have been more surprised than you and your husband for what eventually happened to this company, how it grew to $200 million in revenue, and then you were employing, 1,100 people around the world before it was sold? Could you have written that script, Karen?
No, I would not have ever imagined that, you know, on the one hand. On the other hand, you know, how we all learn and grow, it's one step at a time. We didn't walk into this. We started it in our basement. We maxed out our credit cards. So we watched it grow. And I think taking on even friends and family financial resources really put a fire under us because we did not want to lose their money. And then even the venture money. So, and then once we went public, we felt we had an even greater responsibility because after we went public, we were able to hire more people. And we had always thought from the very beginning when we envisioned the company, we would take long walks and talk about what the company would be like. And we wanted to do everything right as managers and not repeat all of the wrong things that we had ever experienced. So we were very idealistic about what kind of a company it would be. And so this was like our first child, really.
I mean, it's kind of amazing. You marry somebody and it's one thing to marry them and live as husband and wife. It's another thing to get married to somebody and be business partners.
That's true. And I was so delighted, though, on our first date when he said that he wanted to start a business because I had never, ever met a man who said he wanted to start a business and certainly never met one who was thrilled when I said I wanted to start one.
So the stars were aligned for you, too, apparently.
I think so.
So what's the story with Pocket Mentor?
The Pocket Mentor mobile app really came to me over a period of about a year. And part of it was based on my personal experience, and part of it was based on what I was seeing and hearing from people that I know. And it's really the idea that we're living in such a fast-paced world now. Things are changing very quickly in the economy. And I noticed that whether I was speaking with someone who is just out of college, I do a lot of these sort of breakfasts with people who want a little bit of career advice, all the way up to women who are CEOs or senior vice presidents of very big corporations. And I was hearing some of the same things like, I don't know what I want to do with the rest of my life. I'm not sure I'm in the right place. I'm not happy in my work. I feel stuck. And I would hear myself, you know, asking questions and giving advice. And I just thought, I would like to explore having this sort of content in a mobile app that's easily accessible for people on the go to give them advice and insight so that they would, you know, get the information that they need, be reminded of what they already know, and sort of get that satisfaction from their work and their life. That's kind of right at their fingertips.
Sell me the Pocket Mentor. I need it to what? Kind of pump me up, boost me up. If I'm just saying, I don't know what to do in this situation, it could help me. I'm in this business situation. Does it create scenarios?
Exactly. The Pocket Mentor is like a daily read, and it's soon going to have video and audio in it. It's really a daily read. It's on the go. It's sort of like almost like a devotional. Like it has every day, it's got its own read. And it has to do with the major issues that that people face in their career in particular. So it starts off, the first 5 days are all about your own self-discovery, where you have exercises to understand your purpose, where you have a link to the StrengthsFinder test so that you're doing your own assessment, because most people don't understand what their strengths are. And yet we know that that's where you really need to begin. And then there's goal setting exercise, because I think goal setting exercises are so often missing the mark because they don't ask you to think about what's your purpose and what are your strengths and weaknesses. So then there's a goal setting exercise, and then there's advice, research-based content on how to achieve your goals. And then it just takes you one day at a time through your day and through the major issues that professionals face, like communications issues, leadership issues, how to run a really good meeting, how to have a difficult conversation, how to hire someone, how to fire someone, those sorts of issues. And it really actually addresses the fact that we know that this often quoted research that 70% of professionals are not feeling engaged in their work.
Wow, this is wild. On the one hand, it's amazing. On the other hand, it seems like a no-brainer. That why wasn't this thought of long before you came up with it?
Well, I think that one of the things that intrigues me about this genre, which is really about leadership. It's about your own, you know, leading yourself and leading others. It's about helping people achieve their potential. That's what leaders do, right? Leaders help themselves, but they help their teams and their enterprises and their customers achieve their potential. So I think this is really a leadership app. But you're right. This kind of content has existed since the beginning of time, right? Like one of my favorite people to quote is Marcus Aurelius. He was an amazing leader. He led a whole country in Rome. He was one of the good dictators. And he says, the first thing is to keep an untroubled spirit. The second is to look things in the face and know them for what they are. So that's like a great example of a leader who's sharing what he's learned. And that's something that still applies today. So I feel as if right now we have about 70 million professionals in the United States, and they are all looking for the same things, right? That we've all been looking for in our personal growth.
If you're just joining us, my guest today is businesswoman, entrepreneur, philanthropist, Karen Merrick. Do you think that your pocket mentor resonates more with men or women?
Yeah, it's a great question because I did a survey recently of my customers from my mailing list, and there were more women than men. And the interesting thing, Sandy, is that the two strongest demographics were millennials and people aged 50 and older. And you know, the age 50 and older is the largest group demographically in the United States that are starting new businesses. And I think of it as people who are reinventing. And I love that. And actually, that's what I love about your podcast. So many of the women that you have interviewed have reinvented. They've listened to themselves. They've taken everything that's gone before them. Then they haven't tossed it out. They've actually embraced everything that they've got that's gone before. And they've used that to do something completely new.
You're absolutely right. And I kind of missed it up a little bit as I listened to this. These women who are not necessarily household names are accomplished and passionate and wonderful. And they've got so much to offer, just like you do. It makes me feel wonderful.
Our stories are powerful. And they need to be told. And throughout the app, I mean, it's a 365 days a year. There are stories there. But we gain so much insight and even courage from listening to other people's stories. And that's what you do so well.
Well, thank you for that. So, Karen, I want to move from your business life to your philanthropic life. Talk to me about all these organizations that you're a part of.
When my husband and I were daydreaming and walking along and talking about, we used to take long walks to think through what our company would be like, that the company that became Web Methods. One of the things we said early on is that we wanted to be a really good corporate citizen. Both my husband and I come from working class families. Candidly, at that point in time, not exactly sure how we felt even about capitalism. You know, we just thought, you know, we were from, you know, working class families, and we probably had a bit of suspicion towards the business community. So we said, we're going to be the kind of business that really invests in our local community. And so really before the year was out, when our company went public, we set aside a 10% of our shares, and we started a foundation, and we named it after the company, and it was called the Web Methods Foundation. And it looked and ran like a corporate foundation, but it was funded by this private foundation that we had set up. And we decided that we felt so fortunate that we had, you know, grown up in America, had a good education, and had been really blessed, that we wanted to help other people achieve that too. And we decided to have our foundation focus on nonprofits who were experts, who were on the front lines helping to solve education problems for low-income families in particular. So we knew that we didn't have that kind of expertise, but we knew that there were a lot of nonprofits who did, and we actually knew that they needed the funds to do what they did really well. We have also kind of daydreamed with this idea of offering some management assistance and some real world business advice. So we launched our foundation, and we decided we would really like to have our employees involved. And we didn't know much about having, you know, running a foundation. So we went around the local Washington, D.C. area, which has a number of experts, not only in running a foundation, but also in nonprofit management and in education issues. So we had lots of information interviews. We had lots of mentoring from organizations like the Meyer Foundation. That was started by the family that owned the Washington Post. And, you know, at that time, Catherine Graham was still alive. We didn't meet Catherine Graham, but we met with the woman who ran the Meyer Foundation. She was one of my mentors. And then, so they sort of, we told them our idea and we said, we want employees involved. And they said, well, your employees could actually make the grants for you. And so we formed grant making teams. We let anybody who wanted to be on a grant making team volunteer. We had four or five teams of who would review proposals. And of course, we had them trained by the experts. And then they would actually vote on which nonprofit should receive grants. And we did two or three grant cycles a year, and there'd probably be 20 or 40 nonprofits that got grants each year. And so that was sort of my getting tossed into the deep end of all of this. But we all learned a lot, and the foundation ran for several years. And it turns out that a lot of the nonprofits that received grants were entrepreneurs. So, for example, there is a wonderful nonprofit called Second Chance Employment. It's a nonprofit that will help women who have been abused by domestic violence. It will give them job training, a wardrobe, and then will help them write a resume and get a job at a local company. So a woman named Ludie Green started that. She's now world-renowned, Ludie Green. And we were the first foundation to ever give her a grant. And she was like our first grant that we ever made. And it was like a match made in heaven.
Oh, that's fabulous. That's fabulous.
And so I believe that we have been able to make a contribution to improve things.
Let me just ask you something. In the beginning of our conversation, you said that you were prepping yourself to save the world, that that was something you knew that you were going to do. And you want to know something? You're doing it.
Gosh, Sandy, thank you for saying that. That's lovely. I feel as if I have a lot of work left to do. I feel like I'm just getting started. I'm very fortunate to live in the area where I live, where it's such an intersection of people. People are drawn to our nation's capital, to the Washington, D.C. area, because they do want to change the world. And so it's like in the air out here. People work for policy think tanks, or they work for global organizations, or they work for nonprofits who are doing so much to change the world. I mean, not far, you know, what, 10 miles from my house is the UN Foundation. But I will say this, along the way, my husband and I did actually begin to appreciate and now greatly appreciate the role of business in the world, and how virtuous business is, and how much good you can do. I can't even count for you how many people from our team at Web Methods said to us, we sent our kids to college because we worked here. We bought a new house, you know, because we worked here. We were able to help our parents because we worked here. My life has changed because I worked here. And not just the financial compensation, but of course we had a corporate culture that we worked really hard to establish and to foster.
I bet you and your husband in this business world are anomalies, and that's a good thing. But we just need more of the Karen and Phillips who are doing such wonderful things, not only in the United States, but around the world. I got to tell you, Karen, you bowled me over. I stand in awe of you. And I think that this was just one of the most exciting conversations that I have had. And I am so grateful to have met you and to get to know you.
Well, thank you. I feel the same about you, Sandy. Your show is a powerful show.
Well, thanks again. And Karen, only the best, more successes, and more long walks with your husband.
Thanks, Sandy.
Join us for another edition of Conversations with Creative Women. I'm Sandy Klein.